Welcome to the podcast for the weekend of January 28, 2022. This week we pray for anyone suffering from illness, including COVID, and we pray that people throughout the world would come to wake up from the bondage of the world and come to know salvation, life, and forgiveness in Jesus Christ. Our first lesson is from Jeremiah chapter 1. Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. Then I said, 'Ah, Lord God, behold, I do not know how to speak, for I am only a youth.' But the Lord said to me, 'Do not say, I am only a youth. For to all to whom I send you, you shall go, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord.' Then the Lord put out his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, 'Behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have set you this day over nations and over kingdoms, to pluck up and to break down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant.'" Our next reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and 13. "But earnestly desire the higher gifts, and I will show you a still more excellent way. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. For now, we see in a mirror dimly, but then, face to face. Now, I know in part. Then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. So now, faith, hope, and love abide, these three, but the greatest of these is love." Our next reading comes from Luke chapter 4. "And Jesus went down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and he was teaching them on the Sabbath. And they were astonished at his teaching, for his word possessed authority. And in the synagogue there was a man who had the spirit of an unclean demon, and he cried out with a loud voice, 'Ha! What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God.' But Jesus rebuked him, saying, 'Be silent and come out of him.' And when the demon had thrown him down in their midst, he came out of him, having done him no harm. And they were all amazed and said to one another, 'What is this word? For with authority and power he commands the unclean spirits, and they come out.' And reports about him went out into every place in the surrounding region. And he arose and left the synagogue and entered Simon's house. Now, Simon's mother-in-law was ill with a high fever, and they appealed to him on her behalf. And he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her, and immediately she rose and began to serve them. Now, when the sun was setting, all those who had any who were sick with various diseases brought them to him, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. And demons also came out of many, crying, 'You are the Son of God.' But he rebuked them and would not allow them to speak, because they knew that he was the Christ. And when it was day, he departed and went into a desolate place. And the people sought him and came to him, and would have kept him from leaving them. But he said to them, 'I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns as well, for I was sent for this purpose, and he was preaching in the synagogues of Judea. And our reading for our discussion is from Exodus chapter 18. Jethro, the priest of Midian, Moses' father-in-law, heard of all that God had done for Moses and for Israel, his people, how the Lord had brought Israel out of Egypt. Now Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, had taken Zipporah, Moses' wife, after he had sent her home along with her two sons. The name of the one was Gershom, for he said, I have been a sojourner in a foreign land. And the name of the other, Eleazar, for he said, the God of my father was my help and delivered me from the sword of Pharaoh. Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, came with his sons and his wife to Moses in the wilderness, where he was encamped at the mountain of God. And when he sent word to Moses, I, your father-in-law Jethro, am coming to you with your wife and her two sons with her. Moses went out to meet his father-in-law and bowed down and kissed him. And they asked each other of their welfare and went into the tent. Then Moses told his father-in-law all that the Lord had done to Pharaoh and to the Egyptians for Israel's sake, all the hardship that had come down upon them in the way, and how the Lord had delivered them. And Jethro rejoiced for all the good that the Lord had done to Israel, in that he had delivered them out of the hand of the Egyptians. Jethro said, Blessed be the Lord, who has delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, and out of the hand of Pharaoh, and has delivered the people from under the hand of the Egyptians. Now I know that the Lord is greater than all gods, because in this affair they dealt arrogantly with the people. And Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, brought a burnt offering and sacrifices to God. And Aaron came with all the elders of Israel to eat bread with Moses' father-in-law before God. The next day, Moses sat to judge the people, and the people stood around Moses from morning till evening. When Moses' father-in-law saw all that he was doing for the people, he said, What is this that you are doing for the people? Why do you sit alone, and all the people stand around you from morning till evening? And Moses said to his father-in-law, Because the people come to me to inquire of God. When they have a dispute, they come to me, and I decide between one person and another, and I make them know the statutes of God and his laws. Moses' father-in-law said to him, What you are doing is not good. You and the people with you will certainly wear yourselves out, for the thing is too heavy for you. You are not able to do it alone. Now, obey my voice. I will give you advice, and God be with you. You shall represent the people before God and bring their cases to God, and you shall warn them about the statutes and the laws, and make them know the way in which they must walk and what they must do. Moreover, look for able men from all the people, men who fear God, who are trustworthy and hate a bribe, and place such men over the people as chiefs of thousands, of hundreds, of fifties, and of tens, and let them judge the people at all times. Every great matter they shall bring to you, but any small matter they shall decide themselves. So it will be easier for you, and they will bear the burden with you. If you do this, God will direct you. You will be able to endure, and all this people also will go to their place in peace. So Moses listened to the voice of his father-in-law and did all that he had said. Moses chose able men out of all Israel and made them heads over the people, chiefs of thousands, of hundreds, of fifties, and of tens. And they judged the people at all times. Any hard case they brought to Moses, but any small matter they decided themselves. Then Moses let his father-in-law depart, and he went away to his own country. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Shortly after I graduated high school, I took my first trip overseas to Switzerland, visiting the foreign exchange student, Olivier, we had had when I was a junior in high school. His family graciously flew us in for a visit. I saw more of Switzerland than most people will probably ever see in a lifetime, unless, of course, you're from Switzerland. What you will notice when you visit another country is that their ways of life are different. duh, right? But even if there are many similarities to life in your own home, one of those differences will be the kinds of foods that are available. And people in different places enjoy different comforts and comfort foods than you do. You may not realize this, but ice, especially in soft drinks and water, seems to be more common in the United States. We would order a soft drink at places when we were out, and those soft drinks often tended to come to the table warm, at least room temperature, without ice. If you're used to drinking soft drinks with ice in them, it is kind of a slap to the senses, at least it was to me. Many times, I like to have ice all the way to the top of the glass. I like to chew on the ice after the beverage is gone. Just about 4 years later, I would return to Europe, and I ended up spending the entire summer of 96 traveling through Europe. When you spend a whole summer away from the States, you're going to be mostly without ice for a few months. Whereas, there was the initial shock of being without ice the first time I traveled to Europe, I somehow got used to drinking my soft drinks warm. In fact, at this point in life, there are some times that I actually will drink a soft drink warm. For whatever reason, it seems to be quite different as a warm drink. Maybe you even savor it more, take your time drinking it. We can get used to being without things that we're always used to having available to us. In the game of basketball, each team has 5 players on the court at one time, and then you will have a bench of players. The number of players that you can have in all is limited, so often, if you don't have a court and a bench full of good players, you will tend to play your 5 best players. And sometimes those front 5 get very worn out. When you have a bench of great players, you may find in some situations, again, some teams, that in one game your starters may be your best players, but in other situations, some of your bench players may match up a little better. A small lineup works well in a fast game, but when the pace is slowed down, bigger may be better. Nothing and no one is indispensable. A person can get along without ice. If a player is missing, another player, sometimes a better fit, will take that person's place. There are some folks who try to make themselves indispensable in their work environment. You want to be as indispensable as possible, but unfortunately, when a person gets sick or injured or passes away, their part has to be taken up until that person can come back or until someone can take that person's place for the times to come. Our passage in Exodus is about a visit from Moses' father-in-law. It is a break in the intensity that we've seen in Exodus to this point. Moses' father-in-law, Jethro, comes to see how Moses is doing. He can now observe that the Lord is greater than all gods. How would Moses and the people be delivered without the miraculous working of God? Those who don't believe in God often take an arrogant posture in relation to Scripture. But not only does Scripture relate to us the reality of God and salvation in His Son Jesus Christ, Scripture is full of consistent life lessons for us if we're willing to listen. Situations in life change. Governments transition from one form to another. Nations and kings and rulers rise and fall. But we are human, and there are certain problems and situations that translate to all times, cultures, and places. The children of Israel, the 12 tribes, have been used to slavery. But where we are used to ice, metaphorically speaking, we can get used to life without ice and life under a completely new paradigm. But Moses seems to be doing it all. Many of us have people to whom we go, people whom we confide in. These people are our sounding boards. As you go through life, these may be different people. Sometimes we lose one of these people and we have to move on. In some instances, we replace these people. In other instances, we become them. We become the person in whom people confide. Even Moses isn't indispensable, though. He won't live forever. He can't live forever, and the people are depending completely on him. This is what Jethro observed as he continued his visit with Moses. The next day, Moses sat to judge the people, and the people stood around Moses from morning till evening. When Moses' father-in-law saw all that he was doing for the people, he said, "What is this you're doing for the people? Why do you sit alone? All the people stand around you from morning till evening." And Moses said to his father-in-law, "Because the people come to me to inquire of God. When they have a dispute, they come to me, and I decide between one person and another, and I make them know the statutes of God and his laws." Moses' father-in-law said to him, "What you're doing is not good. You and the people with you will certainly wear yourselves out, for the thing is too heavy for you. You are not able to do it alone." There are some people who not only believe they are indispensable, there are some people who believe that they are the only person who can do things right. They believe if you want to do something right, you have to do it yourself. What does it mean to do something right? When we're talking about standardized situations where there's only one way to do something right, perhaps there is some truth in that, where one person has been trained to operate a particular piece of equipment, and they're the only ones that can do that kind of thing. But for most situations in life, there are actually many ways to do things, and no one way to do things right. In certain situations, in certain instances, rather than doing things only one right way, it may be that a person just seeks to do something well. I may not make the same decisions as the next person, but both of the solutions that we come up with can be good solutions. Everyone was standing around Moses from morning till evening. They weren't used to doing things on their own, so they came to Moses to be guided and directed. And Jethro said, "What you're doing is not good." Moses wasn't breaking a commandment by doing what he was doing. The commandments hadn't been given to Moses yet. But what Jethro meant by not good is very similar to the statement that was made by God when Adam was alone in the garden. It is not good for the man to be alone. Here, it wasn't good for Moses to judge alone. He was going to wear himself out. He was going to burn out or just die from exhaustion. Have you ever encountered someone in life that the way they operated, they were just working themselves to death? Why do people do this? What is going on in a mind like that? Is a person really thinking when they're operating that way? Are they operating with intentionality? Or is that person doing what they're doing because he or she thinks everyone expects them to operate that way, and so he or she doesn't want to let people down? The problem wasn't new in Moses' time, and it isn't unique to our time, is it? We have all kinds of books in our day and age that are geared to self-help and self-management. Many, many people have read The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. But sit at the feet of God and listen to the Bible, listen to His Word, and you will encounter all kinds of situations that you realize are not unique to our own time, but have been things that people have dealt with since the beginning of time. Moses was filling his life with all kind of activity. Many years ago, my cross-country coach in high school talked about a fellow that he knew who was always running. He wasn't going to win races. He was just running constantly, putting in a lot of miles for miles' sake. My coach called those junk miles, miles without purpose. People who engage in any endeavor, if they're going to progress in skill, or if the objective is to win, they will have to engage in that endeavor with purpose and intentionality. But at different times in life, you're going to realize that your priorities change. There are many excellent masters runners who will be successful at winning races, but probably most people will not be performing at their highest level in running as they progress in life. I continue to run, but I will never run at the level I used to run at years ago. So why do I do it? What is the purpose? I don't even always like running while I'm in the midst of a run. Sometimes I just am hurting. But there are other times that I feel great while I'm running. I run to keep up a certain level of fitness. I limit myself to 3 times a week. Years ago, when I was competing in races, I would often run 7 days a week, though sometimes I'd take a day off. And there were times in high school where our team would have 2-a-day practices. For me, these days, running like that doesn't serve a purpose anymore. When I finish a run, I actually feel really good. That return is worth it to me. But beyond that, I focus my other efforts with purpose and intentionality into activities that fit into that 80-20 rule. I try to focus my efforts in that way. What is that? 20% of what we do will produce 80% of our results. If that idea is true, or generally true, 80% of the things that we're doing in life may be us just kind of spinning our wheels. Moses was burning himself out. Moses was spinning his wheels. This was Jethro's advice. Now, obey my voice. I will give you advice and God be with you. You shall represent the people before God and bring their cases to God, and you shall warn them about the statutes and the laws and make them know the way in which they must walk and what they must do. Moreover, look for able men from all the people, men who fear God, who are trustworthy and hate a bribe. Now, let me pause for a moment. When you have people in leadership, you have to have people who are trustworthy, people who love and fear God, who want to do what is right. And he also mentions people who hate a bribe. If a person is bribed, they have 2 masters, don't they? So Jethro says, and place such men over the people as chiefs of thousands, of hundreds, of fifties, and of tens, and let them judge the people at all times. Jethro gave Moses this advice because he cared about his son-in-law. But note that he said, if you do this, God will direct you. You will be able to endure, and all this people also will go to their place in peace. In this podcast today, I'm playing the part of Jethro when I ask you to think about what you are doing. What are you doing with your life? I'm not asking you this in judgment. I'm just asking you, what are you doing with your life? Are you being directed by other people? Is your boss ruling your life? Do you find that you are spinning your wheels all day long, doing things for other people, being ruled by other people's expectations? There are times that we're going to do things for other people because we love them. If you're doing these things with intentionality, doing them because you love people and because you are doing these things to the glory of God, if you look to God's purposes for you, that is a good thing. God loves you. He even gave you a model for your life when he created the world. 6 days he created. The 7th was a day of rest, a Sabbath. God's Son, Jesus, acknowledged this. We get this narrative from Mark chapter 2. One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and as they made their way, his disciples began to pluck heads of grain. And the Pharisees were saying to him, "Look, why are you doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" And he said to them, "Have you never read what David did when he was in need and was hungry? He and those who are with him, how he entered the house of God in the time of Abiathar the high priest, and ate the bread of the presence, which it is not lawful for any but the priest to eat, and also gave it to those who are with him. And he said to them, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath." Think about that. The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Work is important. But what is work for? Do you go about your work with purpose? Look at all the pieces of pie in your life, every slice. Are there slices that you're living where you're just going through the motions, that a certain activity has lost its purposefulness, where other people are running your life? In church life, we have to assess what is most important in our life, worshiping and serving with other people. We have to get our priorities right, and then we go from there. As a pastor, I always want people to be in worship and in Sunday school first, and then to take on the other things. These are priorities. By worshiping, we're keeping the Sabbath. We're praising God, praying to Him, giving thanksgiving to Him, receiving His forgiveness. In worship, we receive God's gifts. He recharges us with forgiveness and the peace which passes all understanding. Nothing can replace God in our lives. He should be a part of every day of our lives as we're in prayer to Him, as we take time to listen or read His Word. In Sunday school or in Bible study, we're studying God's Word together. We're holding one another accountable. We're walking together. We're growing in faith and in discipleship of Christ as we hear His Word and come to understanding it together. We're building the bonds of faith, of fellowship and camaraderie as we walk through this valley of the world together. That's why these two things are priorities, why they're so important for us. The rest of the things we do, we may do to help the mission of the church and its people. Maybe we do them because we enjoy them or they are a labor of love. Maybe we do them to serve because they're needed. But the other two things should come first. They are most important and everything flows from them. Years ago, the congregation of which I was a part didn't have a video camera to share videos of the service, but I would be part of recording the services for the shut-ins. Many of the things I did in service of the congregations that I've been in over the years were because I enjoyed doing them and also because I wanted to do them to God's glory. At certain points, new things will come into our lives, and other things will fade out. They have served their purposes, and it is wise and good to do the things we do with intentionality. Let me tell you what is indispensable, or more specifically, who is indispensable. It is God above all things who is completely indispensable. He has created and sustains us. He provides and gives us all things. He loves us and wants us to have a relationship with Him and has reached out through His Son to give us that relationship and to provide us with the peace, the love, the mercy, and forgiveness and satisfaction that no one and nothing else can ever give. And then, we can share these things with others through the true Father, Son, and Holy Spirit who has given them to us. Really ponder your life and consider what is truly effective and purposeful in your life. Put God first above all, and then let everything else in life flow from your relationship with Him. Like Jethro's advice to Moses, that changes everything for us. And remember always, God gives you salvation through His Son. Nothing is more important than our relationship with Him. Will you pray with me? Lord Heavenly Father, thank you for the gift of life and the gracious love you have bestowed upon me by giving your Son Jesus to redeem me from sin, death, and the devil. Help me as I go through this world to live my life to your glory, that I may know and share the salvation that comes through your Son Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We continue with additional prayers. Lord Heavenly Father, we pray for all who are currently suffering with illness in any way, who are in bondage to illness, struggling with sin, needing comforting of the mind, needing restoration out of sickness, out of COVID, or any other illness. God, we pray that people throughout the world would come to wake up from the bondage of the world and come to know salvation, life, and forgiveness in your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Now the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you. Amen. As we were talking about Moses today, we were talking about how he had taken too much onto his plate, and it was going to wear him out. Well, Jesus, he had a lot on his plate, didn't he? And there were times that he was just surrounded by crowds, and he was healing people, and I think of how exhausting that must have been. He was God, but he was also man, and as man, there were times that he needed to rest. So our special verses this day are from Luke chapter 4. Verses 42 to 43. And when it was day, he departed and went into a desolate place. And the people sought him and came to him, and would have kept him from leaving them. But he said to them, I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns as well, for I was sent for this purpose. So as we go out this week, think of your purpose in life and what God is doing with you. All of our scriptures come from the English Standard Version of Scripture.
Ooh. Ooh. Come thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. While the hope of endless glory fills my heart with joy and love, teach me ever to adore thee. May I still thy goodness prove. Here I raise my Ebenezer, hither by thy help I've come, and I hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God, he to rescue me from danger, interposed his precious blood. Oh, to grace, how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let that grace now, like a fetter, bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it for thy courts above. Oh, that day when, freed from sinning, I shall see thy lovely face. Clothe them in the blood-washed linen, how I'll sing thy wondrous grace. Come, my Lord, no longer tarry, take my ransomed soul away. Send thine angels soon to carry me to realms of endless day, endless day. Ooh, endless day. Ooh, endless day.